What I'd like to ask you to do right now is to turn in your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 36. Back in your Old Testament, to Jeremiah chapter 36. And as you're turning there to Jeremiah chapter 36, let me ask you a question about what you've seen on the news as you go back through the months and the years. How many times have you ever seen a protest in another nation where you have the people jeering, where you have people shouting in the streets, and they get an American flag, and before you know it, they set fire to it, and they burn the American flag? How does that make you feel? When you see people burning an American flag, what do you think about? How does that make you feel on the inside? Well, let's apply that question in a little bit different way. Can you only imagine? What if you saw somebody take a Bible and then cut that Bible to pieces and burn it? How would that make you feel? Because the Bible is far more sacred than the American flag. The Bible is the Word of Almighty God. There's no other volume like this book. What would we think about? What would we say? How would we react if we actually saw somebody burning a Bible? And yet this morning, in Jeremiah chapter 36, we're going to read about a man many years ago who did just that, who cut the Bible to pieces and burned it in a fire. His name was King Jehoiakim. And we read about him in Jeremiah chapter 36. The Bible says in this chapter, in verses 1 and 2, that God told Jeremiah to take a roll of a book. Now back in those days, they didn't have books like you think of a book, with the spine and then the pages that you turn like this. The Bibles back in those days were, like this verse says, they were rolls. They were usually animal skins that had been smoothed out, and you would have special men called scribes to make copies of the Bible. And they had many, many copies of the Bible back then. They just didn't look exactly like your Bible does as far as the layout's concerned. But they had the same words. So God told Jeremiah, he said, all right, I want you to take a roll or a scroll. And I want you to write all of these words that I have said. In verse 2, take you a roll of a book and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, who was his father, even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I propose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. So the Bible says that Jeremiah called a man that was working with him that he knew. His name was Barak. He called Barak and he said, here's what I want you to do. I'll speak the words and you write them down. So Barak came and Jeremiah began to speak. He said, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that roll. I want you to take these words that I've spoken that you just wrote down. And I want you to go to the house of the Lord. That is to the temple of God. And he said, this is going to be on a day when many people will be there. It's called the fasting day in the ninth month. And he said, I want you to read so that everybody can hear these words. I want you to read aloud. So it's not exactly like the street preachers today who stand on a corner and stand on the sidewalk and preach to people when they've got their windows rolled up and got the air conditioning going and maybe have the stereo going. It wasn't exactly like that, but it was a man who was standing out to people and talking to them and reading this to people who were walking by. They could hear. So the Bible says he did just that. He read to these people. And there was somebody that was listening there that went to some of the leaders of the Israelite nation. And he told them what he had heard. He said, this man Barak is reading these words and told them about the words that he was reading. And the Bible says that those leaders said, bring him here. We want to hear. So you go get that man Barak and you bring him here. So they bring Barak in, and the Bible says that they said, sit down and read these words. And Barak did. He read all of these words to these men. The Bible says that in verse 16. Now it came to pass, when they had heard all the words, they were afraid, both one and the other. That's how they responded. So the Bible really pierced their heart. It made them afraid. It got their attention. They didn't look at it and say, we don't believe that. We don't care. We've heard that before, and we're not interested in you reading the Bible to us. We don't want anything to do with that. That's not how they reacted. The Bible says they were afraid. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean either that they were converted right then and there on the spot, that they changed their ways, that they repented. Because sometimes when people hear the Bible, they're scared for a while. They're afraid just long enough for it to get their attention, but they never follow up on it. They never really make a change in their life. How many times have you seen that happen? Where somebody will hear the gospel, somebody will hear the Bible, and it scares them. And you can tell, you can look at them, and you can see that they're alarmed, that it's gotten their attention. But they never really do make a decision about it. Now, these men are afraid, and they said, we've got to tell the king about this. And they ask a question that's very interesting in verse 17 about this role or about this book. In verse 17, tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? How did you come about doing this anyway? How did you write all these words that we've heard? And I wish that that is the question that people would ask today about the Bible. Because that's the question, folks. That's the issue. How in the world did these men in the Bible write this book? If people would ask that question and be honest about that question, surely it would cause some of them to change their lives. How in the world did these men write about Jesus Christ 700 and 800 and even 1,000 years before he was even born? How did they do that? How did they tell what was going to happen in his life right down to the detail of what he did and what happened to him? It's only because they were guided by the Spirit of God. I wish they would look into those things. I wish they would ask the question, how did these men write the Bible? Well, that's what they asked Barak. And he said, well, he spoke them and I wrote them down. He's talking about Jeremiah. These leaders of Israel went to the king. They went to the king and they told him what Barak had said. In other words, by word of mouth, as they could remember it, they said, now here's what he said, here's what that book is about. They didn't bring it in to the king at first. They left it in a chamber. They said, we're going to go in and tell the king about this. And the king said, go get it. You go get that roll, and you bring it in here to me. So he sent a man named Jehudi, and Jehudi brought the roll in. Now it's winter time, and the king is sitting in front of the fireplace. That's the setting. So Jehudi brings the roll, the word of God, in before Jehoiakim, the king. And he begins to read it. How's the king going to react? Is he going to be interested? Is he going to be afraid like they were? Is he going to be curious? Is he going to be sad? Is he going to be angry? How's he going to react to the word of God? Let's look at the answer in verse 23. And it came to pass that when Jehudi read 3 or 4 leaves. Now that's kind of like saying when he'd read 3 or 4 pages, in our way of speaking. That he, that is the king, Jehoiakim, cut it with the penknife. The penknife was a sharp knife that those writers, those scribes would use when they wanted to cut off a piece of that parchment and use it to write something. So he took that real sharp knife and he took the word of God and he began to cut it, just shred it. He's mad at the Bible. And he begins to cut it. And then after he cuts it, The Bible says he threw it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Can you imagine being in a place like that? Can you imagine being there and watching that? Can you imagine just seeing somebody have the brazenness and the audacity to burn the Bible? And yet that's what he did. He not only cut it up, but the Bible says he took the pieces and he burned them in the fire. Now, how did those people feel? I'm talking about the men that were with him. Well, the Bible says in verse 24, yet they were not afraid. I think that would have scared me to death. I think I would have been thinking, I'm going to get out of this room because God's going to strike him dead, a bolt of lightning, he's going to hit him or something. To imagine somebody having the audacity. Listen, folks, you know, people that don't even believe the Bible and people that know and will tell you that they're not living by the Bible, I don't know of any of them that would be so brazen as to just say, well, I'm going to take a Bible out in front of all you people and just burn it. I've never seen that. Even they oftentimes at least have an awareness of how people are going to react, and they wouldn't do something like that. But this king is so arrogant, he is so brazen, that he destroys the Word of God. And the people that were with him, the Bible says they were not afraid. They didn't rend their garments. That's what they would normally do. They would tear their garment because of shock and awe. Neither the king nor any of his servants that heard these words. However, in verse 25, Elnathan, Deliah, and Gemariah made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll. In other words, they pleaded with him. They said, look, don't do that. Don't burn it. Whatever you do, don't burn the Word of God. But he would not hear them. He wouldn't listen. He was going to destroy the Word of God, whatever he did. Now, the funny thing is, this man had a father by the name of Josiah. This man who's king now, who destroyed the Bible, had a father by the name of Josiah. And during Josiah's reign, he sent some men to clean up and to restructure the temple, the house of God. And when they were cleaning it up and repairing it, they found a copy of the Law of Moses. They found a copy of the Bible in there, in the temple. They brought it back to his father, Josiah, the king, and they read it before him. Do you know what his father did when they read the Bible to him? He humbled himself. It touched him. It moved him. And he said, we've got to make some big changes throughout this whole nation. And the Bible says that he cleaned up the act of the people of Israel. That was his father. And here is his son, who is just the opposite. He has no use for the Bible. He doesn't want to hear it, and when it's read before him, not only does he not humble himself, but the Bible says he's going to get rid of it. He's going to destroy it. Not only that, he wanted to kill Barak and Jeremiah because they were the ones that produced it. That's the rage that he has. Now let me ask a real simple question here about this man who burned the Bible. Why did he do it? Why did he burn the Bible? Is it because King Jehoiakim was an atheist or a skeptic and he just hated religion? Was that the reason? Was he like Voltaire? Voltaire was a French atheist that lived many generations ago who had no use for the Bible. A lot of people think that he was an atheist. He was not really an atheist. He was a deist. That means that he believed in God, but he didn't believe in the Bible. I'm finding that there are more and more people like that in our country today. That's contradictory. It won't work. You can't have it like that. But I'm finding there are more and more people who say, well, I believe in a higher power. Yeah, I believe in God, but I don't believe in that book. No, I don't believe in that Bible. That's what Voltaire was. He said the day is going to come when the only place you can find a Bible will be in a museum because they'll all be destroyed. After he died, years after Voltaire passed away, do you know what his house became? His house became a print shop. Do you know what was printed in that print shop in his house that he had lived in? Bibles. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Maybe he was like that. Maybe King Jehoiakim was like that. Maybe he was an atheist or a skeptic. Maybe he was like Madeline Murray O'Hare. Madeline Murray O'Hare was a woman that died several years ago. A lot of you remember her. She used to be on television all the time. And one of her favorite statements was that the Bible belongs in the trash can. She's dead now. But you know, some of the harm that she did still lives on, because in 1963, because mainly of her efforts, because she had a son in the public school and she didn't like the fact that her son was having to hear the Bible read and prayers said in the public schools. And did you know that that went all the way to the Supreme Court in 1963 because of her? And that's why that there's a law against having prayer in public schools to this very day. She's dead now. And the Bible, she said, belonged in the trash can. It's still being read. It's still being believed. And it's still here. Well, was King Jehoiakim an atheist then? Was he like that? No. We have no indication that he was a skeptic or an atheist who was just out to destroy religion. Well, maybe he was just a hate-filled tyrant. Maybe he just hated the Bible so much that he was like other rulers that we find throughout history. For instance, there's a man by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes that Daniel talks about. He doesn't name him, but he talks about him. And this man in 168 B.C., took his armies into Jerusalem. He burned down the city. He destroyed as much of the temple as he could. And every copy of the Bible he could find, he destroyed it. And anybody that was caught with the Bible, now this is 168 years before Jesus was born, anybody caught with the Bible was put to death. Maybe he was like him. Maybe it was like an emperor of Rome by the name of Diocletian, who lived hundreds of years later. Just turn up the clock to 302 and 303 A.D. A couple hundred years after the church, even more than that, after the church has been established. This Roman emperor had it in for the Christians. And he gave his soldiers an order. And that order was this. This is in the first part of the 300s now, A.D. He said, I want you to go into every city and I want you to level the church buildings to the ground. I want you to destroy every church building and I want you to get a hold of every copy of the Bible you can find and I want it burned. He did that. Diocletian is dead. The soldiers that did that are long gone and the Bible lives on. Was he that kind of ruler? Is that what Jehoiakim was trying to do? Was that his problem? Was he just so full of hate toward the Jewish people that he wanted to destroy all of their religion, everything they were doing? That's not it. Well, maybe he believed in the separation of church and state. Maybe he was like some of these people today who say, you know what? You can't post the Ten Commandments in the courthouse because we believe in this separation of church and state, and so we can't have the state sponsoring or in any way financially supporting the posting of the Ten Commandments, because that is the promotion of religions. And so across the land, you find that courthouses have had to remove the Ten Commandments from inside of those buildings. What a ridiculous, what an absurd thing, and what an unthinkable thing that would have been to suggest to some of our founding fathers that that would have ever taken place in this country. Maybe Jehoiakim said, well, you know what? We don't need to mix the two here. We need to be careful about having these Bibles and having the Bible read out in public like that. Maybe we don't need to allow that. And so he burned the Bible. But that's not it either. Because he was king of Israel. And in Israel, in the Old Testament Israel, there was absolutely no separation of the religion and the government. Because the government and the religion were one. It was what a lot of people call not a democracy, not a republic. It's what a lot of people call a theocracy. And that simply means that God was over all of it. And if you broke a religious law, you had broken a civil law as well. They were both one. So it was not that Jehoiakim was like one of these people today who say, well, you know, we don't need to mix the politics and the religion here, so let's make a law against that or let's get rid of it. It wasn't that. Well, maybe, somebody said, maybe Jehoiakim had converted to a religion that had a zero tolerance level. Maybe he got involved in some kind of religion that said, you know what? We're not going to allow any Bibles anywhere. Burn every one of them that you can. It's happening today, isn't it? Try to go over into Saudi Arabia. Try to go into Iran. Try to go into Egypt and on the street pass somebody a New Testament. Try it. Won't happen, will it? Try to go into communist China and give somebody a Bible. Try to go into Dearborn, Michigan, in some places, and hand out a Bible. And we have seen that that can get you arrested even here in our country. Well, maybe King Jehoiakim was a part of a religion that outlawed having the Bible. That's not it. It's not it at all. In fact, Jehoiakim was not trying to destroy the Jewish religion. Listen, folks, if he had been a hater of religion, he would have burned down the temple. He would have killed all the high priests. He would have said, you can't keep the Sabbath, you can't practice this religion. It's not it. And it's not that he has it in for the Bible as a whole. In other words, he didn't say, all right, I want everybody that's found with any part of the Word of God. I want him found, I want him arrested, I want him put to death, and I want that copy of the Bible that he's got, I want it burned. He didn't try to burn, and he did not destroy every section of the Word of God. So why did he get so mad that he cut the Bible up and he burned it here? Well, it's very simple. He didn't like what it said. That's it. He didn't like it. Now you see, if the Bible that had been read to him, if Barak had brought in there a scroll and opened it up and said, King Jehoiakim, I want to read some words to you. And it had been something like this. God loves you, and he just wants you to know that he loves you, and you're his king over Israel, and you just need to know that God is a good and a loving God. Do you think then that Jehoiakim would have burned the Bible? Do you think that he would have cut that up and thrown it in the fire? No, absolutely not. It's because of what's being said in it. And what was said in those pages, in that part of the scroll, you know what was said in it? Some bad news. It was about what God said concerning what was going to happen to these Jewish people. That the Babylonians were going to come and destroy them. Jehoiakim didn't like that. He thought he was going to be king forever. He thought that things were fine. He did not want to hear bad news. He wanted to hear that everything was fine, everything was dandy, everything was going to be all right. Like those other preachers were telling him, there were all kinds of prophets in Israel that were saying, everything's fine, don't listen to these people who say that it's going to be gloom and doom, that we're going to face destruction, that there's bad thing, there's something bad out there awaiting us. Don't listen to all of them. That's what the other prophets were saying. That's what the other preachers were saying. Barak comes in and he reads a bit of bad news and the king doesn't like it. And the king doesn't like it also because it's pretty personal. This scroll told the people that the only hope is to repent. The only way that you're going to avoid doom is to repent. The king didn't like that because he was an evil man. He was a wicked, sinful man. And he was not about to give up his sin. Now, folks, this is why people reject the Bible today. They don't reject the Bible because it says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Most of the time they don't. It's not because the Bible talks about the fact that God gives us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons. It's because the Bible calls on us to change our lives, to change our attitude, to humble ourselves before him, and to give our heart and our souls and our lives to God Almighty. And when they see things like that, then they reject the Bible. Now they think up some kind of excuse. They won't tell you that. They'll say, well, I don't believe the Bible because, you know, it has those contradictions in it. It contradicts itself. Or I don't believe the Bible because one person can interpret it one way and another person can see it a different way. Or I don't believe the Bible because history shows that the things the Bible talks about are not true. They don't believe that. Most of them don't believe a word of that. They don't even believe what they're telling you. They're making an excuse. The real issue, the real reason, is because they don't like what it says about how they're living. That was King Jehoiakim. And how did that story end? He burned the Bible. He burned the Word of God. But how does the story end? Some of you know. God told Jeremiah, said, Jeremiah, get another roll. Get yourself another roll. And here's what you do with it. You write all the words. You write exactly what you wrote in the first one. And besides that, you put more with it. And you tell King Jehoiakim that because of his rejection of the Word of God, he's going to die. So it looks like when you read the story that King Jehoiakim won, that he destroyed the Bible, end of story, not by a long shot. Because the Word of God still lives on. And here we are, well over 2,600 years later, and we're reading this story. The man that burned the Bible is dead. He went on and died and faced God in his judgment, of course, on him personally, I'm saying. And we're looking at the Word of God, the very words that that man heard. We have them right here in the book of Jeremiah to this day. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Matthew 24 and verse 35. And so it is, especially with God's plan of salvation. Jesus said, you must believe that he is the Son of God. You must repent of your sins. You must confess him before men. And you must be baptized in order to get into Christ, the body of the saved people, for the forgiveness of your sins. If you're not a Christian today and you need to respond, realize that the Word of God is always going to be true, regardless of what people do with it, regardless of what people say about it, regardless of what you've heard. If you've heard people say, well, that Bible, you know, it doesn't really mean that. And scholars say this and experts say that. Look at it yourself. Look at the Bible yourself. And if you're lost in sin, be honest with yourself, be honest with God, and obey the Word of God this very day.